Minehead Baptist Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, the 24th of January, 2010. Hello and welcome. Thank you once again for joining me. My name's James and I'm the web guy here at NBC. This week, Tim is continuing the series of Your Part in the Jigsaw, and this week he's looking at evangelists. Again, the reading is Ephesians 4, verse 7 and 11 to 13. So we'll go and join Tim as he's starting the sermon.
Thanks, Roy. Well, those who were here last week will know that we've started a series looking at the five ministries which are highlighted in Ephesians chapter 4. And we're really starting to unpack the fact that the five roles mentioned are not for special people. They're actually just part of God's plan for healthy churches. So before we go any further thinking about the role of evangelist in a few minutes, let's delve a little bit deeper into this particular thought. Is this thing working again? No, it doesn't want to work. I'll nod at you if that's all right. Thank you, James. Okay, let's go on to the next thing. We're going to read together this little section from Ephesians 4. Would you like to join with me? But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service. There's a little bit more on the next slide. So that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Now I'm hoping by the time we get to the end of this little series, you'll be able to quote that completely without the prompt. Is that all right? Maybe on the last one, I won't give it to you, but we'll see. Last week we mentioned that we may need to rethink how this passage comes to us. We may have to think again as how we respond to it, because people have often thought that the five roles which are mentioned here are just roles for the leaders, you know, the ones up there. Well, is it 6 feet above contradiction, isn't it? That's where I am at the moment, isn't it? Of course. No, you are allowed to contradict, it's okay. Just not now, all right? But the whole thinking here is not that this is about a special breed of Christian. This is about Christians. Any Christian. Because the passage says, but to each one of us. Sorry, that's on the next little bit. I'm not going to be able to squidge, so you'll just have to listen out, James. Is that all right? Thank you. And each one refers to every member of the church. And what the Bible is saying to each one of us is that we've each received a portion of grace in one of those five roles. Now, just as clothes come in a variety of colours and sizes, so we're created by God to fit different roles. Now, I got a little bit arty, all right, when I was thinking about this, so please forgive me for a moment or two. But I think prophets should be red, don't you? If you're colour coding them, I think prophets should be red. They should probably have a danger sign above their heads as well. Evangelists, I think, maybe should be green. You know, green is a nice colour, you know. It's about welcoming and all that sort of stuff. I've put down pastors are definitely blue and calming in my mind. Do you agree with that? No. Worryingly, Denise definitely shook her head. No. Teachers. Well, of course, they've got to be black and white, haven't they? Because they're dealing with truth. And I think apostles, you know, maybe it's the imagery that I've grown up with through the years, but shouldn't they be white apostles? Well, the thing is, whatever colour you think might fit, and I'm willing to listen to your suggestions afterwards, but of course I'm right. The important thing, it doesn't matter what colour you assign to them, the important thing to grasp in laying a foundation in our thinking is that you have been called to be one of them. You have been called to be one of them. Because Christians come in five types of people: prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, and apostle. Remember the words from our reading. Grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. And these five roles apply to all members of the body of Christ in varying degrees. Now we know that Jesus demonstrated all five of the roles, didn't he, in his life. He was apostle and prophet, evangelist, pastor and teacher. And as part of his body here on earth, Jesus said we were to continue his work. And so his people had been given parts of his wholeness. So Jesus, by gift of his grace, has empowered and equipped each of us for his service. If you like, it's a little bit like different sized portions. Now, Karen and I did one of those diets a few years ago, and I couldn't believe it because it came with little pots. Okay, have you come across those horrible little pots? It's called a portion size. They're horrible because they're so tiny, and we suddenly realized why we were so big, because our portion size was maybe were a little bit different. But you know, in the Bible it says that we're all given different portion sizes of God's grace and also of responsibility. He knows exactly who we are. He knows you in your inmost being. And so he knows how much grace he wants to apportion into your life and how much he wants to apportion into mine. And so we as members of his body receive one of these five assignments, relying on the other members, on one another, for those areas that we're not gifted in. Okay? So there is this lovely, lovely sense of us all sort of being interconnected and dependent on one another. Apostle, prophet, evangelist and pastor, teacher, to train Christians in skilled servant work, working within Christ's body, the church, is what our passage says. And these different roles seem to be foundational in making church work, because all of these elements are vital that we might be prepared for service and the church might be built up as it's supposed to be. So to be who we should be as church, we need to be displaying these five roles in our life together. I really love the Message version, and you might want to read this with me. Until we're all moving rhythmically and easily with each other, efficient and graceful in response to God's Son, fully mature adults, fully developed within and without, fully alive like Christ. Isn't that a great version? I think it's fantastic. Because when each person is working by grace in the role given by the Holy Spirit, then the result is unity in faith. The other result is a continual growing in the personal knowledge of Jesus and maturity or wholeness which leads us to the fullness of Christ. As we thought last week, these roles are different to the gifts of the Spirit. So if you like, Ephesians 4 is talking about the roles or functions given to every believer. And 1 Corinthians and Romans and other sections talking about the gifts of the Spirit, which are given to enable every believer to function more efficiently, more effectively in his or her role. And just a reminder of that little phrase we just read together. We're all moving rhythmically and easily with each other. Now, have you ever been in a crowd and it's not moving rhythmically or easily? Yeah? It actually can feel really uncomfortable, can't it? But there are other times, and you notice this sometimes on the Underground in London, where it feels like we're all ants together, doesn't it? You know, we all just flow forward. We get on the train, we go wherever we're going, we all flow out again. And, you know, human beings actually can work together. I don't know if you know that. And God's plan is that when we get this right, we do move rhythmically and easily with each other. We'll still have bust ups, okay? We're human beings. We'll still have disagreements and all the rest of it, but it won't matter. Because forgiveness will be at the heart of who we are, and we'll be wanting to see all of these different things working together. And so our heart's desire will go beyond the circumstances. It's a brilliant picture of what we should be as church, isn't it? When we're all confident in who God made us to be, living in the grace that Jesus gives us, using the gifts to help us to fulfill our role. Isn't that a fantastic aim and direction and vision? Well, let's think a little bit more for the role for today, which is evangelist. Okay. Remember the Pentagon last week, and each of the sides representing a different one of these roles. And you can see that last week we talked about prophet, and we thought about, basically that's about somebody being one who calls others to God's word and to what God wants to say. Well, today we're thinking about evangelist, and I've summarized it in this little phrase: the bearer of good news. A bearer of good news. So let's ask a question. What is an evangelist? All right? What is an evangelist? Well, we've already said that fundamentally it's one who brings good news and shares the message readily. Now, I once designed a church brochure, and it began with the phrase, "You are important to God, and your life has significance." And really, that's the starting point of the good news for evangelists. To realize how important every individual is to God. Because that's why God sent Jesus, to express the love he has for us, and to explore and to enable us to experience the good news for ourselves. In dying for us, Jesus makes the way open for every person to receive God's forgiveness and new life. That's good news, isn't it? Don't you think it's good news? We've worshipped this morning, haven't we? We've sung truth. We've explored what it means to be touched by the Holy God. to be restored and made new, made whole, to invite God's goodness into our daily experience. I think that's worth sharing. Don't you? Why do we find it so hard then? Weird, isn't it? Let's think for a moment. What's about the Bible? Okay, who do we find in the Bible who definitely displays this sort of characteristic, this role? Well, if you look in Acts chapter 8, verse 12, you have a little snippet about Philip's life. And the thing is, what happened was that when Philip shared, people believed. Okay? Because I think that's probably quite important for an evangelist, that you don't just share the news, but people get it and they respond. That's significant and important. Now, we could pick up loads and loads of different people in the Bible, but the Philip is one. The thing about Philip is that he's quite approachable if you read about him. You know, he's not the superhero type, but actually he's just a Christian displaying this role of evangelist. How about Jesus' example? Well, we can't go wrong, can we? Because Jesus embodied the good news. He didn't just speak it, he was the good news. He is the good news. And we can see Jesus as evangelist in John chapter 3. And Roy sort of mentioned it really right at the beginning when he talked about the woman, the Samaritan woman at the well. And Jesus saying, you know, you can have water, streams of living water flowing up within your life. And so Jesus was an evangelist even in his ordinary ministry before he died and became the good news. Do you see what I mean? He actually expressed the good news of God's love and salvation in the relationships that he built up in his life. How about secular examples? You'll really like this. Here's a suggestion. Salesmen are like evangelists. Some of them are better than others. How about politicians? Now, I'm not saying they are evangelists. I'm saying they're a bit like evangelists. Don't misunderstand me here. And those people who are public relations types, you know, those sort of roles and responsibilities, just suggest that these three sort of areas give us, if you like, a secular example of the type of character and personality that an evangelist is likely to be. Here's the question then. You are an evangelist. Notice the question mark again in the phrase, okay? You are an evangelist? Try looking at the person next to you and say, you are an evangelist, and see what their response is. Okay? How did it go? How did they respond? Did they laugh? Yes. Did they say, yes, I'm an evangelist? Yes? Cool. You know, it's really exciting when you preach and people actually admit that they're one of these. It's great. Is evangelist actually, all joking aside, your calling and your role? Here's a few thoughts about evangelists. Evangelists love spending time with non-Christians. And they often remind other Christians that there are non-Christians still out there in the world. Yeah? You know, I once lived with an old lady. I was lodging with her. And she'd been so immersed in sort of churchy stuff. She wasn't a Christian, but she'd been to church all her life. It's interesting, that one, isn't it? She did become a Christian while I was living with her, which is really exciting. So 76, she actually got the point after 76 years of going to church. But the thing was, it was interesting that she didn't think, before she was a Christian, she didn't think anybody wasn't a Christian. Isn't that sad? Never, the penny had never dropped, dear old Mrs. Spiller. Oh yeah, the Upcott folks are here, aren't they? So, yes, they'll know that, what, that lady. And the interesting thing is that evangelists just long for the rest of the church to recognize there are non-Christians out there and they need saving. It's on their heart. It's part of their DNA. It's what they want to shout from the rooftops. An inbuilt concern for those who have as yet not known God's love for themselves. The other thing I do want to say is that they're not necessarily all like Billy Graham. Okay? They may just be people gatherers. Now remember the secular examples we mentioned a few minutes ago. People like politicians. Well, they like a big crowd, don't they? Politicians. They like swaying the masses. But public relation type people are often much quieter in their manner and their approach. They like to reach out to individuals, to gather people together, rather than to speak to a crowd. So you can have different types of evangelist in their roles. Here's another thought. Evangelists know the word and they can make it relevant to non-Christians. Not saying that they're all Bible students, but somehow they can take God's word and they pick out those bits that really apply to those who have yet to receive Jesus for themselves. The word of God in the Bible is vital to evangelists because it points people to the freedom and hope in Jesus. There's another little hallmark. Evangelists enjoy discussion and sharing their own point of view. You know, if you have good news which can revolutionize people's experience of life now and forever, it's so satisfying when you've got the opportunity to do it, to share it, to express it. Now, last night we had Taste of Uganda evening down here. And it did pass through my mind. I haven't seen your sort of, you know, preparation booklets. But some of you might be aware, I went to Uganda a few years ago and did a couple of weeks out there. And we were in the middle of nowhere in the northeast, so nowhere where the project is that you're going to. But we were right up near the Kenyan border. You know, with the sort of troubles at that time with the Lord's Resistance Army. And it was an interesting experience. And one thing I was told before I went, and I want to pass this little bit of wisdom for what it's worth on, is we were told before we left to make sure we were ready to give our testimony at a moment's notice. Because the faith of the people in Uganda is right at the forefront of their lives. It is the most important thing that they hold dear, because so many of the people there have nothing. And so to be ready to share your story is vital as you go out to Uganda. And sure enough, within literally 5 minutes of landing in Uganda, I was asked what my story was. Literally. 5 minutes, getting off the plane and just talking to the driver of the coach. I was asked what my story was. So be ready, be prepared, those who are going. And it's so exciting, because maybe God will reveal to you your role of evangelist through this experience? Are you open to that? Are you ready for that, Ugandan team? Are you ready for that, rest of the church who are not going to Uganda? Another thought. Wherever evangelists go, they seem to draw others into discussion about Jesus. It's just one of those things. And it's about using the natural opportunities which God brings for us to share with those around us. It's about spotting those little opportunities when people share what's going on in their lives, and we know that Jesus can do something about it. And he's having the boldness, I suppose, to do it as well. Which is the next thought. They're passionate about sharing the gospel. They don't wait for people to say, I want to know how to become a Christian. Okay? How many of you are those sort of Christians? You know, you say, I'm very willing to share my faith as long as it comes from the other person, and they say, how can I become a Christian? Then I might say something. No. Evangelists don't wait for that sort of non-existent experience. They are so excited, and their passion means that any opening is worth pursuing. Because what we have to share is the most important thing anybody can experience. And so here's the last thought. They're not timid about their faith, and they seem to easily share with others regularly. You know, evangelism for the evangelist isn't a chore. It's a pleasure. Sharing the depths of what it means to know the love of God is something that motivates them and encourages them, and it just spills out in who they are and in how they live. Because when people's eyes are open to who Jesus is, and people begin a new life of faith, that's when evangelists feel most fulfilled. And they feel, yes, that's what it's about. That's really what it's about. Now, I would just sort of put a little caveat in here that it does mean that when evangelists come across other types of Christians who have different roles, they get really frustrated with them. Because they don't understand why they're not quite as motivated about this particular aspect as they are. So they do have to sort of, you know, recognize there are other gifts and other roles for people to fulfill. But the thing is, each of us have been touched by someone who is an evangelist, or we wouldn't be here today. So are we willing to take that role as God reveals it to us, that a whole new generation of people might know the reality of Jesus for themselves? So here's the questions. Is the foundation role for you one that we have looked at so far? Are you a prophet in your role? Are you an evangelist in your role? And just, I want to point out, because I've got a couple of weeks where I'm not preaching now, or not preaching this, there's more to come. Okay? There's more to come. Let's just pray for a moment. Loving Father God, we thank you. The people who had this role of evangelist were willing to stand up and live it and make it who they were in the past because we've been touched by them, by individuals who so wanted to communicate your truth and your love and your light that they spoke to us, and we thank you for them. And we thank you, Lord, that you also call this generation, those of us in this building today, to this role as well. I pray, Father, that you would encourage all of the evangelists in this place, that, Lord, you'd set them on fire, that, Father God, you'd set them free to be excited about sharing you, that, Lord God, you would build them up and give them an increased boldness and excitement and enthusiasm for the truth of who you are. We pray, Lord, for us as a body of your people to be effective in reaching others with your truth and your hope. And Lord, just now we pray for the people next to us. We pray, Lord, that whether they are given the role of evangelist or whether they are simply to be your witnesses, as we all are, that you would open opportunities and enable us to see them as such, to share who you are in our daily lives. We pray for your Holy Spirit to fill each one of us so full of the good news that we overflow with streams of living water to those around us. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
If you'd like to leave a comment on the sermon, please go to minehead-baptist.com/sermons. And the website's also where you can find out what's going on here at MBC. Well, thank you once again for listening. Please stay subscribed, and I'll speak to you soon.